Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby. For more information, please visit our website at elohimchurch.com.
Glory.
Man, that's better. Need a bigger lectern now. I got two Bibles today. Move my mic down a little bit. Good morning.
Good morning.
All good?
Yeah.
Good. I come with good news today.
Yay.
I bring a message of good news and a message of encouragement.
Yes.
Come on.
Probably be a little bit of challenge in there as well.
Yay.
And I just love Pastor Colin, when he simplifies it so much and says, whenever the word goes forth, it should always go forth to encourage, and it should always go forth to challenge.
Uh-huh.
And I want us to be encouraged today,
yeah,
that God is pleased with us.
Yes.
God is pleased with what we're doing.
Yes.
God is pleased that when we are working in and for Him, we're doing the things which He's set aside, and that pleases Him. When we set aside time to do the things that He's set aside for us to do. But there's a challenge as well, because we've got to keep going with that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to work through, and just to bring a close really to the last month, February, we've been looking at position, and starting at the beginning looking at positioning ourselves for blessing, and how Peter and the apostles, they positioned themselves where Jesus said, and as they positioned themselves where Jesus told them to be, they were blessed. Peter was blessed with the massive catch of fish. The apostles were blessed by receiving the Holy Spirit. And then Steve was brought a great word about positioning ourselves as part of the vision of the house and what our position that God's got for us within the vision of this house. And then last week's amazing foundational teaching from Pastor Lynn about our position in Christ, which is so foundational. And Pastor Lynn really summed it up by saying all the other positions which God places us in are birthed out of that one position. Because our position in Christ is where it all starts. And if we don't know our position in Christ, we're always going to be drudging through treacle. We're always going to be struggling. We're always going to be trying to find something else, somewhere else, which is actually, we need to find it in Christ.
Yeah.
Our confidence in Christ, that great revelation of who we are in Christ, who He's made us to be, enables us to operate and facilitate all those other things that Christ has placed us in. So I was kind of, as I was praying it through, thinking about, okay, so there's positioned for blessing, there's positioned in the vision, there's positioned in Christ, which brought to me the question, why? Because within those things, there's a lot about me or ourselves. There's a lot about me being possessioned to see God bless me, me being possessioned for my part of God's vision, me being positioned in Christ. Why? And the final thing to sum this up really is your commission position. Your commission position. And that's where the whole position of God, where it comes down to, however God's positioned you, however you feel you've been positioned, it comes down to your commission position. That's why God has positioned you in that certain place for that certain time. Your workplace, your social connections, however that looks, that is your commission position. Where you are, what you do, how you live. You know, that whole word in Esther 4 about perhaps you were here for a time such as this. Now, I'm a believer that the word of God resonates throughout eternity. The written word, the spoken word resonates throughout eternity. I'm also a believer that there's certain words that resonate and speak a little louder at certain times, that they're amplified at certain times in history. And there's a real amplification upon that word of here for a time such as this. And knowing the confidence in what Christ has positioned you into is for a time such as this.
Yeah.
It was a time such as this for Esther all those years ago. She was positioned for a time such as this to see her whole nation saved.
Yeah.
You know, you may be positioned in something not to see a whole nation saved. God wants to see the nation saved, but you've been positioned in a certain part of that. You've been positioned in a certain part. Your commission position is wherever you've been placed, however that looks, and however you view or choose to look at your commission position is something totally different. And how we outwork that, there's loads of different ways. You know, there's thousands of books, and that's probably not an exaggeration, on evangelism and mission and doing mission and
You know, sometimes you read them and they're always trying to outdo one another. You got one book that's saying all you've got to do is preach God's love. Don't tell them about hell. Don't tell them about the devil. Just preach God's love and people will come to know Jesus. Yes, probably true. Then you've got other people saying you can't just preach God's love. You've got to tell them about the sin. You've got to tell them about hell. You've got to tell them about where their life will lead without Jesus. And there's other ones about saying, you know, you don't have to do anything. Just live a life. Don't say anything, and eventually somebody will come to know Jesus. The whole Francis of Assisi, you know, preach the word at all times, and if necessary, use words. It's not necessary. It's impossible to preach God's word without using words. Yes, people might see you doing great things, but until they actually hear why you're doing it, you could just be another nice person. Okay. Mike Chance shares a great story about a girl who was working as 20 years for a dental company. As the dentists, that's quite freaky. Behold, I stand at the door and knock on this chair. I don't think Jesus plays knock a door run, but there you go. Must be something else. I don't need any distracting. Pray, Jesus. Okay, so. She'd been working for 20 years with a dental company alongside this practitioner, and she'd lived the life. She'd been this amazing servant to the dentist. She'd gone in every day. She'd been praying for this guy, and she'd done everything she could, but she hadn't told him she was a Christian. And the day came 20 years later where the dentist finally turned to her and said, "There's something different about you." And she got excited, thinking, "This is it. He's going to recognize that I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm going to get to preach the gospel." So there's something different about you. Are you a vegetarian? It's like all these years of, it's like, really? But we have to, the word needs to go forth either way. Or you've got, you know, there's a whole manner of things, you know. There's Alpha courses, there's Christianity Explored, there's thousands and thousands of ways of equipping us to fulfill our commission position. There's thousands of ways of doing it. I've tend to find that going back to the original plan and God's word seems to be the one that works the best. Yes. You know, we've developed things which, you know, work in our modern day society and all those different things. That's just so strange. Any ideas? No, anyway. You just have to ignore it. But going back to the original word and the original plan, you know, there's things that have been developed which are great. And you know, I'm a massive fan of all the different tools that we have in our modern day society to preach God's word and to see people come to Jesus. And however that might look in this country or other countries, there's some amazing creative ways of doing that. But today, I want to encourage us in the personal way that we do that. The personal way, you know, we've been looking at position here on a Sunday and we've been looking at being missional at Connects, and you know, one, I just really want to reaffirm that being missional isn't about an event.
That's right.
It's not about, you know, we all stay together and then eventually something happens where the church puts on a nice event and we all turn up and speak to a couple of people about Jesus and it's like, that's my mission bit done. I can go and sit for another year until the mission comes up again. You know, it's not a let's go out, do this and run and hide again. It's a constant outworking. Yes, the missions are amazing. Then the events that we put on are great and those things are perfect. But, you know, I'm so encouraged every time I go on CFAN's website and see the pictures of Reinhard Bonnke preaching to this like millions of people. And there's those masses of crowds of people who've come for that one mission. But my guesses are that there's a lot of work going on with some of those people before that. Mm-hmm. People were speaking to them in day-to-day life. People were inviting them to come to see this German guy who's going to speak about Jesus. People were speaking to them, blessing them, loving them. And it just happened to be, you know, Pastor Lynn summed up last week a really good thing where she says, you know, it's about a constant dripping. And I love the fact that you might be the next drip that somebody needs. That's a good. I've been laughing about that all week. You might be the next drip that somebody needs. And it might be that bringing them along to a certain event or a certain mission might be the next drip that that person needs. But there needs to be that constant dripping through into somebody's life. Yes, miraculous things happen. We hear of testimonies of people like Paul who, you know, God just miraculously sprung up and, you know, lights were blazing, lightning's flashing, everything's cracking off. And he's like, whoa, okay, I'm going to believe in Jesus. But I don't know about you, I wasn't saved like that, actually. I wasn't saved in a way where
you know, I had this massive, glorious appearing event. I had different people at different points of my life just speaking things, setting an example, saying certain things, and that little dripping and constant tapping in my life brought me to a place where one day I was able to say, yeah, I'll go to church. It wasn't a massive, miraculous thing. Yes, God still does that, and you hear stories of people even further along than Paul. Charles Finney, his salvation was very much going before God and just having a real, you know, blitz of the Holy Spirit in his life. And, you know, that happens. But chances are, more than not, the people, when we get saved, it's a result of somebody else that's tapping away at our life, or a collection of people tapping away. And how we do that, you know, really is up to you, is what I want to say. You know what works. You know how God works with you. You know how the Holy Spirit guides you. You know the people that you're working with. You know how those situations work. And I can guarantee that, you know, of all the different things that we have for evangelism and mission, the only one that's got 100% success rate is when you're led by the Spirit. Because the Spirit never leads us to something that's going to be a failure. If we are trusting in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is saying, speak to that person, pray for that person, go and love on that person, bless that person. If we are led by the Spirit and so in tune with what the Spirit's saying, it's 100% success rate every single time. The Spirit's not going to set you up for failure, ever. I just want to put that out there. God will never set you up for failure. He will always put you in a position to see success, whether that's in salvation or whatever else in your life. If you're positioned where the Spirit's saying, you can guarantee it's successful. You can guarantee that something's going to happen. You can guarantee that God's going to work. But I just want to read this. It's quite a large chunk of scripture, but it's so encouraging. And, you know, Paul has a real way of encouraging the people when he sends his letters. And it's 2 Corinthians 3. And I'm reading this from the Truth.
Yeah.
I'm loving the Truth version at the minute. That's just, for someone who kind of finds it difficult to focus when they're reading, this draws you in, doesn't it? I remember Pastor Colin saying when it first got published, people were buying them and starting to read it on a night and not sleeping because they were just wanted to carry on reading and get through. It's like, you know, it's the Bible. We've been reading it all these years, and yet something fresh opened up. So, it is 2 Corinthians 3. I'm actually going to go back a verse, just going to start from verse 17 of 2. However, we are not like those who preach God's word simply for our own financial gain. Quite the opposite. We speak before God as those who live in Christ. So we preach with sincerity as men sent by God with his commission. There's that word. Does it sound as if we are commending ourselves again? Do we need letters of recommendation as some do? Are we asking you to recommend us to others? No, you are the only letter we need, for you are written on our hearts, and everybody can see clearly that what is written there. You demonstrate that as a result of our ministry, you are a letter from Christ, not written on paper with ink, not chiseled out on tablets of stone, but written with the Spirit of the living God on human hearts. This is the confidence we have before God through our faith in Christ. We are not able, because of our natural abilities, to claim any credit for ourselves. Our ability comes from God. He has made us able to be ministers of the new covenant, which is based not on the letter of the law, but on the Spirit of God. For religious legalism kills, but God's Spirit gives life. The ministry based on letters engraved on stone resulted in failure and death. Even so, that ministry expressed something of God's glory, for the Israelites were not able to stare at Moses' face because it shone with the glory, even though it was a glory that faded. But how much more of God's glory will be revealed through the ministry of his Holy Spirit? If the ministry that condemns men for failing to keep the law is glorious, how much more of God's glory is revealed through the ministry that makes men righteous and acceptable to God. For the glory of the old covenant is nothing compared with the glory of the new. The glory of the old faded, so how much greater is the glory of the new, the glory that lasts forever. Having this, as our hope makes us very bold. For we are not like Moses, who had to cover his face so the Israelites would not see the radiance fading as they stared at him. Even this day, a veil covers the minds of those who hear the Old Covenant being read, causing them to be incapable of spiritual understanding. Only through faith in Christ will that veil be removed. Yes, that veil still covers the hearts when the books of Moses are read. Yet, as soon as someone turns to the Lord, that veil is removed and he can understand the truth. Now, the Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord God, and where his Spirit is present, people have been set free. So our faces are not covered or veiled, but we are all able to reflect the Lord's glory. The more that glory is revealed in us, the more like him we become. So this glory that comes from the Lord is continually increasing in our lives because the Spirit of glory lives in us. Whew. That's an amazing passage of scripture. Encouraging. And now Paul's speaking about, you know, the way these people are living, the way he's living, is a letter which is giving out a message of the ministry of the glory of God, giving out a message of the ministry of the Spirit. And I've got the Message version, just a small part of it, which I thought was really good as well. Your lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living Spirit. Not chiseled into stone, but carved into human hearts. And we publish it. So I've got a question. What are we publishing? And what do people read when they read our lives? What are we allowing to go to the printing press in our lives? What do we allow? What does the book look like? What does the book of Shane Budby look like? When somebody reads my life, is it good reading? Is it something that people want to get their teeth into? Or is it something that they think, no, I'm not too fussed about that. That's not quite matching up to my way of thinking. What are we publishing in our lives? What's the thing that is being published? What is put on display? When we live, when people look at us, what do they see? Does it match up with the stuff that Paul's saying there about the glory of God, the boldness? You know, there's the whole thing there where he's talking about, you know, the veil being covered, but, you know, talking about the Jewish people, that veil still covering, but there's a time coming when that veil's going to be lifted. Yeah. And there's going to be countless numbers of Jews that are going to come to know Jesus in his glory and in his Spirit and the power of Jesus. You know, yes, at the moment there's a veiling, but it says, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And God's going to lift that veil on the Jewish nations. God's going to lift that veil on the Jewish people. And there's going to be a release of his Spirit into those people, which is going to see that veil lifted and the glory of God released. And that excites me. That's an exciting thing, that when the people of God are returning to the true God, when they're returning to Jesus, is an exciting thing. And I get a feeling that we're not very far off those kinds of things. We get so much talk about we're in the end times. Maybe we are, maybe we aren't. You know, either way, God's still moving, God's still working, God's still saving people, and that's going to happen one day, and that's a confidence that we have. But when we think about our lives being on display, sometimes it's a challenge, sometimes it's an encouragement. You might love the fact that your life's on display. You might love the fact that people can see everything that you're doing, because you might be living so well and so led by the Spirit that every time somebody sees you, they're thinking, wow. Yeah, something's happening. Or you might be thinking, oh man, I don't want my life on display today. Or you might be thinking, you know, you do something, you think, I'm really glad people weren't watching then. You know, what's hidden away, you know. Not to discourage you, but God sees everything.
Yeah.
Luckily, other people's salvation doesn't necessarily rest on that. But, you know, I think, oh man, I'm so glad that my life, you know, I'm not on like Big Brother or something where everything's displayed to everybody, because, you know, if I get a bit cheeky with Sam or, you know, don't quite, do as I'm asked. Gotta get a bit stroppy at 3 a.m, trying to get Elijah back to sleep or whatever. It's like, oh God, please help me. I'm led by your Spirit. Yeah. The cool thing is, when God starts to move in our lives, it's not only a personal connection with somebody, it's not only that we are living a life which looks good. There's so much more than just looking good and doing good and being good and letting people see something else. Yes, that's great and that needs to happen, but it's when we start to bring in the glory of God into that, when things really start to crack off and things really start to move and things really start to shift. You know, he talks about in the scripture here, you know, that yes, there's that foundation of being in Christ, and true ministry comes out of that foundation. Any ministry comes out of that foundation with Christ, and it can't be that you can't change that. If you're ministering from a place that's not foundation in Christ, then, you know, you're not ministering really. You're just adding another great service to the world, which is awesome because the stuff that we do from this house, everything that we do is founded in Christ and goes far from a place of Christ and goes far from a position in Christ, which enables us to know that whatever we're doing in this community, whatever we're doing in this house, is going far from that place and isn't a waste of time, because when we're not founded in Christ, we are literally wasting our time. And we receive the Spirit, we receive the Spirit of boldness, we can be bold, but it's carrying the glory, which I really wanted to think about. In 1 Chronicles, it talks about the ark being moved. Quickly, I'll go there. A very short passage in 1 Chronicles 13 and 13. So David did not move the ark into the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom of Gath. The ark of God remained, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything he owned. The glory of God was in his house, and he was blessed. The glory of God was carried into that place. He was blessed. Everything else was blessed. Good news is, God no longer lives in a box, and his presence doesn't live in a box. He lives in us. We are now the ark of his presence. We are the ones that are being carried. Yes, we're not gold, and we don't have cherubim stuck on our back, and we don't have to use poles to carry us. You know, some of you might do. You might want to be carried around by everybody else. I don't know. You know, high and mighty and all that. But we are the carriers of God's glory now. And that matching up, that marrying up of a life lived in Christ, founded in Christ, and just demonstrating God's love, demonstrating the stuff Christ wants us to do, married up with the carrying of God's glory. Those two coming together, you can be guaranteed people are going to take notice. People are going to ask questions. You are carrying the presence of God into everywhere that you go. If you are filled with God's Spirit, you're carrying his Spirit. Then the Spirit of glory lives in us. We're carrying God's glory out where we go. That's exciting. Yeah, it is exciting. You know, you're carrying the glory of God. You know, just think on that for a second. Selah. You know, God is in you. You don't have to put on a show. When you're doing it as the Spirit leads and God is moving in you and the glory of God is carried in you, God's going to turn up and move, whether that's going into your workplace, whether that's visiting your friends, whether it's visiting your neighbour, whether it's coming into church, whether it's going to the shop. You're carrying God's glory wherever you go, you know. And, you know, this morning I say it's good news and it's encouragement, because it's good news and it's encouragement for me as much as it is anybody else. You know, I need to remind myself of this constantly, that I'm carrying God's glory when I go into Asda. I'm carrying God's glory when I go to the shop. And, you know, I've got to be listening to the Spirit for when he says, you carry my glory, you need to speak to that person. You need to, and, you know, sometimes I'm guilty of the Spirit prompting me to do something. I'm just thinking, no, not this time, as I'm sure we all are. Or maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm the only the miserable sinner that doesn't listen to the Spirit and kind of sometimes dampens it down. And, you know, there's been a couple of times, and I say only a couple because, you know, I genuinely do listen to the Spirit and want to do what the Spirit says. But there's been some times where it's been like doing that. It's like, ah, no. And then you get home and you think, oh, man, that person's salvation could have rested on me doing what God was asking me to do. And I didn't do it. But God's gracious and he brings those situations round again. And, you know, he's merciful. Chances are he'll bring those things round for us to do again, or he'll bring somebody else in that person's path. So it's the it's not an excuse, but he is a merciful God. But as we carry that glory, we're taking it wherever we go, and that's an awesome thing to do. And I do enjoy the fact that, you know, as God's glory went into that house, everything was blessed. And in your workplace in particular, wherever it is, that place can be blessed because you're there.
Yeah.
You know, the favour of God can fall on that place because you're there. Yeah. And that's why I talk about it's important to be living the life, and it's important to be living with honour and integrity, and living that life which people look at and aspire to and just think, how is it you're able to do that? How is it you're able to live in that certain way? But why it's important that people know it's because of God. Yeah. People know that you are the way you are because of Jesus. That you don't just look like another great employee that's from the world. That people know, so when they start to see the favour of God falling and they start to see things happening, they know why. You know, there's been a couple of places I've worked where it's been a challenge to do that, but I've had to make sure right from the outset, this is what I do. I can't work Sundays because that's when I'm at church. And, you know, that speaks, but that's spoken volumes. You know, it didn't make a difference. One place in particular, the boss was constantly every week, can you work this Sunday? I told you I can't work Sundays. But the place was blessed. The place was blessed because the glory of God has been carried into that place every single day. The people there could see something different. The people knew there was something different, that God's glory was in that place. God's glory was going into that house. They didn't necessarily see it as God's glory, but they knew that something was different. They knew that something changed when the Christian was on staff. They knew that something was different. Everybody seemed to work better. And I hear countless testimonies from friends who say, you know, when they're not on shift, people say, we really recognize when you're not here. You know, they're working in a place and they might have a holiday or they might have a day off, and they say, we really missed you being here yesterday because something was different. And you think, well, what's different? Well, you know, the glory of God wasn't being carried into that place. The love of God wasn't being carried into that place. And that's what we do. We carry something in, but that's why it's so important that people know what it is that we are carrying, that they don't just think that we're strange, or, you know, it's great that people think we're good and it's great that people think we're nice people, but they need to know why we're good and why we're nice people. And that's what I really want to focus on today, is that we've got a message. Our lives are a message. You know, I love how that describes it. Our lives are a letter, not written in pen and ink, not chiseling to stone, but written by God's Spirit onto the hearts of men. That we are a letter which goes into those places that people can read. And as they read that, they see something different, but they need to know the author of that letter. Yeah. They need to know the one who's written that letter. And, you know, sometimes it's as easy as saying, I went to church this Sunday, or I'm at a church meeting tonight, or, you know, just those little things open up those doors. And, you know, in the workplace, generally, people are quite open to want to know. It's like, oh, really, you go to church? And it opens up, you know, just to emphasise honour's reward. Don't be going around everybody's desk preaching to them while you're getting paid to work. Yeah. But you do get a lunch break where you sit in your, you know, you sit in your staff room. When I used to work in a leisure centre, I had countless opportunities in the staff room to talk with people, pray with people, and just do that. And, you know, even I didn't know about honour's reward then. I probably was a bit of a going around doing it all the time, but I've learned my lesson now. But, you know, it's kind of those opportunities come up, and sometimes we're looking for the big things when really it's the little things that start to build up and make a difference. And I've often shared this very short, simple testimony with the young people when I was doing the stuff with them about a guy that I was working with. And I'd done something which had made him look a bit silly in front of a girl that he really liked. Just being sarcastic or something like that. And, you know, obviously I felt very bad. And I thought, oh, that wasn't a nice thing to do. I was only having a joke, but he's obviously taking it quite seriously. And I just pulled into him and said, look, I'm really sorry. I was out of order there. I shouldn't have done that. And as a result of that one thing, he became so open to want to know about my faith. And he's like, you know, why would you apologize? Nobody does that. You know, why would you even be bothered? It's like, well, you know, because, you know, I live a life with Jesus, and Jesus wouldn't have been happy for me to do that, and so I'm sorry. And that kind of opened up a door, which you think, man, God's using everything for the good of those who love him. I think I gave him a Left Behind book, the first Left Behind book. So I have a read of this. And then he kind of, I don't know if he ever got saved. He was kind of really questioning before I left that workplace in particular. And by that point, he'd started going to the Christian bookshop himself to buy the rest of the Left Behind series, and was kind of so taken up with this book and was really intrigued and interested in what was happening. He was asking questions all the time. So, you know, I pray that, you know, God really moved in that. But there's something as simple as that, you know, and we sometimes forget that for us to just conduct ourselves how Christ calls us to conduct ourselves makes us so counterculture anyway. that we don't sometimes even have to try. Just living the life that Jesus has laid out and living in the guidance and the power of the Spirit and carrying God's glory is this brings such an ease. We sometimes think we have to start getting a bit like Reinhard Bonnke on the desk in the staff room and, you know, getting everybody around and kind of, everybody come round, everybody put your hands out, I'm going to pray now, we're going to take an offering now. You know, you don't have to hold a church service in your staff room. It's living the life that Christ has called you to live. You know, when you're placed in your commission position, that's the, you know, God uses that and God works with that. And I just want to really emphasize that fact that where you are now, if you know that's where God's called you to be, that is your commission position, whatever that workplace is, whoever it is you're living next door to, whoever it is you're hanging out with, you know, that is your commission position, and those people are your mission field, and those people what need to hear about the goodness of God. And, you know, God doesn't need anything, but at the same time, he needs us to be doing the stuff here on earth, which he wants us to do. I've got a great quote here from Joel Osteen. It says, God has no arms to love and hug except your arms. God has no voice to encourage and uplift except your voice. The only smile that God has here on earth is your smile. And he needs to use you for that. He needs us to be the one that gives that. You know, don't go around hugging everybody, just to say. It's one thing that people that don't come to church don't quite get. I had a friend who brought a fiancé to church and they did the communion, peace be with you, kind of thing. It was a C of E church and everybody in the church didn't shake hands where I went. Everybody hugged each other. So there's this guy there who's never been to church in his life and he's got about 60 people coming around and like hugging him. And he's like, oh my word. Needless to say, it took a while for him to come back again. You know, be aware, not the people that are not filled with the Spirit and carrying God's glory don't necessarily view things the same way we do, but sometimes people are in need of a hug and they're in need of somebody to just love on them and they're in need of somebody to be encouraging. You know, those things, you know, loving on someone, hugging someone, encouraging someone, uplifting someone, smiling at someone, all those things are a part of that ministry which God has given you. Yes, we have to speak, but these are the things that lay a platform for you to be able to speak. These are your soapbox, if you like. You know, you can get on your soapbox when we're actually doing this stuff. You know, there's countless people who I've come across who they don't do any of this. They just want to plow straight in and tell everybody what they're doing wrong and why you shouldn't do it. And this is how Jesus says to live. And the people are just like, okay, well, when I see you doing it, then I'll consider it. But, you know, it's kind of when you've laid in that platform over years and years with people and you're building up your soapbox and it's getting a bit higher, then you can get on and preach God's word and really establish what's happening. You know, the more you live the life, the more you pour out God's glory, the more you live in the Spirit, the higher your soapbox is getting and the louder your amplification system's going to get. Speak to those people. If you want to just be going in, you know, one-on-one, yeah, that's cool. And that's what we want to do. But God's got more for us. He's got more for us to be building up and really working in the lives of different people, which is good news.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing thing, that in the midst of all this, we are carrying good news. We're not taking a message of death. We're not taking a message of drudgery. We're not taking a message of religion even. We're taking a message of life. We're taking a message of the glory. We're taking a message of the power of the Spirit. We're taking a message of God's life. And that's good news.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we forget that. We forget that when we're called to go out and preach the good news, that it is actually good news. Yeah. Especially when you're in a day where you're thinking, this doesn't even seem very good news to me. I'm really struggling today, but to encourage you, it's good news.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is called the good news. You know, every one of them, not only the good news version of the Bible is the good news, they're all the good news, okay? It is good news, and you are carrying good news. Yeah. Everybody loves to receive good news.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't care how miserable you want to receive good news. You know, the baby's been born, such and such has got engaged, such and such has just had a tax back rebate or whatever, you know. Such and such just had, you know, the car passed its MOT, all these things. Good news, we love good news. You don't like bad news. You know, I don't know, maybe you do. Maybe you're one of these strange people that like draws on bad news and you kind of like, that's the way you get your kick. I'm not one of those people. And if you are, I'll pray for you later. We love good news. Everybody loves good news. You know, I can guarantee that if my garage car's in for an MOT And I get the phone call to say, yeah, it's all fine, it's passed. There's like, ah. When the room and say, there's a, well. And you think, you know, first thing is, how much is this going to cost me? It's generally the butt of bad news, isn't it? How much is this going to cost me? The boiler's broke, how much is this going to cost me? For parents, such and such has just got engaged, is also going to be, how much is this going to cost me? The baby's just been born, how much is this going to cost me? You sleep for a year, if anything. But either way, it's a blessing and it's good news, and we love good news. And, you know, all those different things. And it is, sometimes it's the little things, sometimes it's the big things. I don't know about you, but I love the big things and the little things. You know, those things that might not seem massive, but just the little things are good news. You know, the prince has managed to do all the copies of the wheel without going wrong. That's good news. Yeah. To you guys, you might think, what are you on about? For me, that's like nothing short of a miracle. You know, in my eyes, it's kind of, it should be the next chapter after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, because it's that miraculous, it really is. Yeah, no hiccups, no issues, printed in an afternoon, it's kind of like, praise God. The there we go, knock a door, run again, those pesky kids. It's those, the good news that we're carrying, we like to receive it, and that's what we're carrying. We're going into these places, we're going into it, wherever it is, we're carrying the good news, we're taking it into those places. And I love the fact that, let me just find it. Yeah, because we're Christ's ambassadors. To be an ambassador basically means that you represent whoever it is you're representing, how they would be represented. So the people who are ambassadors for the United States in, I don't know, Japan or something, they should act, speak and behave just as Barack Obama would himself. And that's what the whole job of an ambassador is to be the basically the replica of that person in that place. And we're supposed to be the replicas of Christ on earth. Yeah. We are the ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We represent Jesus while we're here on this earth. We've got our part to play. We've reaching our friends, our family members, everybody that we need. We've got our part to play in that, in being ambassadors to them. And we have good news, you know. Literally, you know, John 3:16, it's one of those scriptures, again, which stuck on mugs, stuck on bookmarks, stuck on T-shirts, pencil sharpeners, rubbers, bracelets, caps,
banners,
flags, car stickers, tax disc holders, you know, it's everything. If it exists, it probably exists somewhere with a John 3:16 scripture stuck on it, whether it's manufactured or made personally. It's one of those scriptures that we hear so much, but yet we kind of forget the fact that that is the good news sometimes. Yeah. We hear it so much in our own ears, we forget the fact that to go up to somebody and say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever simply believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." Now you hearing that has a different, completely different focus on going up and saying it to somebody that has never heard it at all, or never heard it put in that way. And you tend to notice that as you're going out into the world and you're ministering to people, that there's certain things that they'll say, "I've never heard it like that before." And you're thinking, "What? Seriously? You're like, really?" And you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and he'd been speaking to his work colleague, and the guy had said to him, "Wow, that, I understand that now. I've never heard it put like that before." And you think, "How? How have you never heard it put like that before?" But you know, for those of us that are of the community of faith that are following Jesus, we hear these things quite a lot, and we think that people are going to perceive it the same way we do. But sometimes for somebody to hear that scripture is powerful. It's like, really? God loved me that much? Really? He sent his only son? I just thought it was an Easter story and, you know, all those kinds of things. That, you know, it's amazing. And that is good news. You know, when Jesus arose from the dead, I'm jumping forward a couple of months now to Easter. Record this, save it for Easter Sunday. When Jesus arose from the dead, the very first two people appeared to were women, Mary Magdalene and Mary, mother of James. And people say women shouldn't be in ministry, you know. But just to say, that is ridiculous. Yeah. The two people that Jesus chose to come to were women. Yeah. He probably knew we could trust them to get the job done. He's maybe laid there in the tomb thinking, okay, the two Marys are Peter and John. I'm sure it wasn't. Either way, he came to two women first, and he said this. go tell this good news, I am alive. Okay, and that is it, really. That's our message. That's Christianity. That's the base of what we do. Go tell the good news, I am alive.
Yeah.
And being really faithful women, they went and did that. And they went and told the men, Jesus is alive. We've seen the master, he's here. And they're like, yeah, yeah, all right. But, you know, Peter and John sprinted, didn't they? We've got to see this. Because they knew there was something in them. They knew, they picked up on something. They were probably so prophetic that they already knew anyway. It's kind of like, yeah, he's told you first, but we knew. We knew something. We're men, we already know. We don't need the instructions, we don't need this. But, we just do it, yeah, we know. We're that prophetic. No, sorry. Sorry, God. I'm kind of like shifting things here. Just to say, it did appear to the women first. They did go tell the disciples and they did come. And you know, and then everybody started telling, didn't they? Good news is, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And that is the good news. And I just love that. It is so simple. We try to bolt all these different things onto our mission position or our positional mission or our commission position, whichever way you want to look at it. We kind of miss how simple it is. The simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of the faith, that where you have been positioned, there's a plan, there's a purpose, and there's a simple way of doing that. But it's simply as a matter of you live the life, and we all know this, we live the life that Christ is calling us to live. We be that letter, as Paul's talking about, that's written by Jesus, and we're going in, we're loving on people, we're serving our socks off, we're raising the standard all the time, we're honouring our workers, we're honouring our boss, we're honouring the pastors, we're honouring the leaders, we're honouring our friends, and we're operating, you know, John Bevere's course on Honours Reward was so foundational for this church while we did that. You know, something shifted and changed in this house as a result of that, as always been the case through John Bevere's ministry in this house. You know, it shifted something, not only for the house here, but I've heard testimonies all the time of people recognising how to conduct themselves in their workplace and marrying the two up, that living that honourable lifestyle with integrity and being a bearer of the good news as well and being a carrier of God's glory. And it is a supernatural thing. It is a supernatural thing. You know, it's not a methodical kind of, you know, step-by-step guide. Jesse, you can get your kind of, if I do this and go through this perfectly, this person will definitely come to Jesus. I've tried using those kinds of things, and not everybody comes to Jesus. But when I'm led by the Spirit and I start speaking to people, and, you know, you just say, you know, what is there anything I can pray for? You know, these really simple things speak volumes to people. And, I don't, you know, I've preached a while ago about conditioned thinking. And yes, our conditioned thinking can hold us back in certain things, but if anything, our conditioned thinking holds us back from actually being ministers of the good news in the world. Because we're so conditioned to what happens in here and how we interact with one another that we kind of forget that actually to be like that with somebody else is a massive, massive impact on their lives. People do that. Just show of hands, in your workplace, if somebody's ever said to you, there's something different about you. Yeah, a lot of people. You see, yeah. So people recognise when there's something different. Hopefully it's because it's Christ and you're not just going in. Just to point that out, there's something different about you, you're just weird. Yeah, we are a bit weird, to be honest. And I'm proud about that, to be fair. Not in a prideful kind of way, but I like to be a bit weird because it gets people's attention. I'm not talking about being stupidly weird, like, you know, some stuff you see people are doing, you think, what, really? But I'm not to question it. But either way, you know, God tells us to do strange things sometimes. And you think, okay, you really want me to do that? And it's when you're like on your knees, you really want me to do that? Yes. Okay. Do you really want me to do that? Yes. Like, okay, I'll do it. And, you know, sometimes it is a challenge. Sharing our faith is a challenge. But just to say, it doesn't have to be. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be. And I think sometimes we build things up and we read things and we hear things which kind of says, sharing your faith in this century is so difficult. Sharing your faith is so hard. Sharing your faith with people is really difficult. And the thing is, it has always been like that. Yeah. There's always, each generation's faced a different challenge of how to get the gospel into people's hearts, how to get the gospel into people's mouths. And, you know, some
nations in the world still face some of the same terrible things that the early church were facing, that even people in the 1700s in this country were facing. You know, the Methodist preachers, when they used to go out, commissioned by John Wesley, you know, some of them beaten to death, you know, dead cats thrown at them, pulled, dragged off of the streets because of preaching the truth of God. You know, and I think, yeah, that's intense, you know, in retrospect, we've all got our challenges, but it doesn't have to be difficult. When we're led by the Spirit, there's such a joy and such a love that comes out of that. It doesn't have to be difficult. Yes, it's challenging, but thinking to ourselves it's hard and it's difficult just talks us out of doing the really simple stuff. And it really is that simple of carrying the glory of God, seeing God's favour and blessing, and being able to say, I believe that I'm a bit of a Joseph, that wherever I go, God's favour is going to fall.
Yes.
Yeah, as you carry that stuff in, you know, I know for me, where I used to work and used to see that happen, I didn't even have to say that. Somebody else said it for me. Brian was telling this particular person, you know, there's a story in the Bible about Joseph, and when he's in a place because God's glory is with him, favour falls and God's blessing falls upon that place. And that's what we're carrying in, just like Joseph, just like the disciples. We're carrying in that. Hello. That's my heart. I'm getting right. I'm alive. I am.
Good news.
That is good news. So the glory of God goes with us. We carry that glory of God. We live the life. That marries up. We bring the good news. I know this has probably been a little magazine rather than novel this morning, but sometimes I like to do magazine-style preaching because it kind of gives you little nuggets, little bites. But as we carry those things, we make a difference. And never question the difference that you're making. Just because everybody's not getting saved at the first time, don't question your effectiveness and the influence that you've had. Because, as you said, you might be the next drip that somebody needs. Such a great statement. Should get it. That should go on a mug. That's cool. It'd fit as well, wouldn't it, with a jug or a mug? You might be the next drip that someone needs. I wouldn't have it as a quote on the front of the church. You never know, get people thinking. Yeah, we're drips. Are we the next drip that you need? There you go. Yeah, but you know, you could be that next drip into that pool that's being built up over time. You know, for me personally, there were constant drip. It wasn't in the midst of it, I didn't know it was happening. It's not until looking back over my life that I started to see those different things that were dripping into my life and God moving and working. Even when I was so far away from him, I can look back now with the eyes of the Spirit and see an opening of, wow, God was doing that all along. And eventually it got to a point where something broke, the dam broke. And I'd say probably the biggest witness to me was a lady called Wendy, who lived on our street, and her and her husband, I think they still do, led a brethren church in our village, and she was just so happy all the time. Walking down the street, hi Shane, how are you? Always speaking, never really pushing the gospel down my throat, but always really nice. And every time she'd walk past us and speak to us all, we'd like be there as like a gang of young people and kids, and it'd just be like, why is Wendy so happy? She's always smiling. We're like, why is she like that all the time? I think somebody once said, oh, it's Jesus, isn't it? One of my mates, probably. Bible basher, isn't it? They're always smiling. But the thing is, she was always smiling, and she lived a life in a way that spoke to me and was a real witness to me. And, you know, the knock-on effect happened where it was, you know, through a granddaughter saying, you need to go to church, me going to church, getting saved, different people praying for me, different people speaking to me. I would say that probably my brother positioning Why Jesus booklets above my door in my bedroom, so every time I opened my door, a Why Jesus booklet would follow me. Was the best witness to get me to come to church. But anyway, I grew to love Nikki Gumbel, needless to say. But yeah, every time I opened your door, a Why Jesus booklet, I was like, what's he trying to do? That was weird. And if he listens to this on the podcast, I hope he realises it was weird. But somebody living a life, and you know, there's nothing more than seeing a life changed. Can things change? Yes, they can. Your life changed. Seeing a changed life, but at the same time, people, you might think, well, I'm already a believer now, and the people I'm meeting have never known me as anything different to what I am.
But you are constantly changing because you've been transformed from glory to glory. So I can guarantee if you started working somewhere in September, somebody should have seen a change in you by now. Something should have shifted and changed in your life that is noticeable. If you're living by the Spirit and you're declaring the good news and you're doing those things, and there's so many ways and so many avenues we can go down with God's blessing upon our lives that we carry out, we carry the glory. And that, you know, for me, that's just so encouraging. And I hope this morning it's encouraging to you that it isn't easy. It is easy. It is as easy as going in. It's as easy as a smile. It's as easy as an hello. It's as easy as a, can I help you with that? Is there anything that I can pray for? I'm at a prayer meeting with my church tonight. Can I pray for you about something? And all those things, just they just tap away and open the word. I'm going to read this rather than try to do it any differently. Okay. My prayer is that God will birth in each and every one of us a new passion and a new fire and a new enthusiasm to win our friends and family members to the Lord. We have already been empowered. God has given us everything we need. We are well able to do what He called us to do. We have been trained for this hour. Yeah. Yeah. Let's just not sit on the sidelines and let it idly pass by. It's time to get in the race. Yeah. And let's everybody get busy and do our part and share this good news with everybody, everywhere. I believe if we do this, we will usher in one of the greatest moves of God this world has ever seen. Yes. Yes. Our churches will not be able to hold the people.
Come on.
We'll see so many miracles and so many supernatural manifestations of God's power that this world will literally be turned upside down.
Yes.
And they'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our God is indeed alive and well, and Jesus Christ is the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a massive thing, but it starts with the small things. And that's encouraging, and I find that encouraging, and I find that that's our faith. That's where we're at. We've got good news. Somebody told us the good news at some point.
Yes.
Somebody spoke to us about the good news at some point.
Yeah.
And we now carry that same good news. We live a blessed life, yeah. Regardless of how your situation, your circumstances might look. You're living a blessed life. And you can say to somebody, wherever, whoever it is you're talking to, I live a blessed life. God loves me. He loves you. And if ever you want to talk about that, I'm happy to speak to you about that. If you want me to pray for you, I'm happy to pray for you. I am praying for you, but if there's anything in particular, let me know. These kinds of things are just so foundational, so open up. That scripture of letting our lives be a letter that people read, just to leave you with that thought, you know, make sure that what people are reading is good. Make sure that people read something that they want more, that they can't put the book down, that they can't stop. They want to see something. They see something in you that says, man, something's different. I've got to keep reading this person. I've got to ask some questions. I've got to know what's going on. And I can guarantee doing that, God will move. Ways will open to pray for people. Ways will open for miracles and supernatural moves. Yes, you know, that's not the basis of it, but it's certainly a great way of seeing people come to know God, is just praying for them when something happens. Like, well, actually, something worked, you know. And we were talking at Bob on Tuesday, and Sunday mentioned a great quote by Paul Gutteridge, who's ministered at Faith Camp a few times. He now works quite heavily in Parliament, ministering to people there. And he was asked, how can we see so many people get healed? And his answer was, because I actually pray for people. And sometimes it is literally that simple. We pray for people and God moves and we see people come to know Jesus. And so be encouraged today, be challenged to do what God's calling you to do, but be encouraged that your commission position is where God has got you for now, and He's got so much for you to do in that place, so much for you to do, so much for you to release, all coming out of that foundation of who you are in Christ. When you're living in that life, it flows. The anointing oil flows, the blessing flows, everything which God has got for you will flow and will impact somebody else's life. So go this week and impact people's lives. In your area of influence, be that influence for Christ. However that looks, be the influence for Christ. Be the positive influence. Don't get caught up in gossip. You know, all these small things that seem so insignificant and massive. If people start talking about the boss or people start talking about another colleague, say, I don't want to be a part of this. You know, actually living a lifestyle that Christ is calling you to live is such a gospel message in itself that, you know, it does make it easy. It really does make it easy. And, you know, I may have said some stuff this morning which you're thinking, well, you know, I know all that anyway. Well, if that's the answer, then, you know, this place would be running three services a day to get everybody in. So, you know, don't, maybe you're thinking, yeah, actually I need to hear that. I know I need to hear it. As God was speaking to me about this, I was thinking, yeah, actually it is pretty straightforward. There's no real pressure. I just let God do it. I minister in the Spirit, you know, led by the Spirit. So what I want us to do now is, I want us to worship. And I just want us to have some time with God and with the Spirit. And really, you know, get yourself in that position, your commission position, where you allow the Spirit to move. Be sensitive to what the Spirit's saying. I can guarantee that if you are listening to the Spirit, He will tell you what to do. He will tell you what to say. You know, He can even tell you before you even get to work or get to where you're going, you need to speak to this person today. You need to pray for this person today. And that, you know, that is an awesome way to live. That's exciting. That's a true adventure of living a life with Jesus, really. You know, if you think of all the elements of what an adventure is, to be living a life where you're led by the Spirit constantly to minister into people's lives is like, whoa, I'm happy with that. Yeah. But it's not always, you know, that takes some doing. It takes a whole thing of listening to the Spirit, listening all the time, and that's not something that you just automatically do. It's about training yourself like anything else. You know, like the young guys the other week having the media fast, giving up certain stuff so they can hear from God more clearly. And as we do that, we hear from God more clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, think about during this time, you know, Holy Spirit, what is it that I'm supposed to be? Is my life clean enough to allow you to be speaking through me? Do I need to limit the amount of time on social media? Do I need to limit the amount of time I'm spending watching TV or on the computer doing things? All these kinds of things. Do I need to clean my life a little bit more and live a more clean life that's allowing God to speak more? I don't know about anybody else, but I can sometimes put myself in a position where I'm so focused on other things, it's very hard for God to speak to me and get in. And I don't want to live like that. So I want to be able to, God speaking to me all the time, not only for me and my personal direction, but for the personal direction and salvation of the people that I come into contact with. So, yeah, there we go. That's a mission, a position, positional, missional lifestyle, which, you know, is not about a big event. It's about that day-to-day, hammering away, constant dripping away, constantly living the life that Christ has got for you, being that letter that is written by Christ Himself. You're the one who publishes that letter into this world. So how are you going to publish that letter? Is it going to be a bestseller? Amen.